Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
And welcome to another edition, everybody. Fantasy Football Elite Season 2, Episode Number 2. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Manns. Find me on Twitter at Jeff_Manns. The Jeff Manns, another social media forums. I'm all over, man. I'm Snapchat, Instagram. I don't even know what else. Yeah, Snap, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you guys can reach me. Always happy to answer your questions. Give a conversation, talk a little daily fantasy sports, talk a little fantasy football, baseball, anything else that's on your mind as well. Happy to do so. So here we sit, two episodes into the 2018 edition of Fantasy Football Elite. I already talked about the NFL draft. It has concluded about a week and a half or so ago from this recording. Now get into my first wave of post-draft rankings. Where do we stand with certain players? Where do we stand at certain positions? I think now we're starting to see a little bit of the dust settle, and we're getting into mini camps, and OTAs are right upon us as well. So start dissecting these positions and see how they fall and what players we're liking where. I'll go through today. I'm going to go through each. I'm just going to do quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends here today. We are going to get into some best ball formats as best ball season is upon us. Hopefully you guys are checking those out. MFL 10s, play draft. If you are on draft.com, by all means, use our promo code GURUELITE. You will not only get a deposit bonus on that 100% deposit bonus. As a matter of fact, you also are going to be able to play against us in best ball leagues, in daily fantasy sports leagues as well, if you want to be a part of the Elite Mafia or what have you. So remember, Guru Elite is the promo code there. And we will we'll be talking about best balls. We're going to talk about Dynasty League formats here as well. I'll get into some of that here today, but I really want to dive into the Dynasty aspect here in probably our next episode of the show, where we can really sort of go into the diagnostics, if you will, the schematics of building a good dynasty team, and also staying on top. If you're, it's one thing to rebuild, and a lot of people understand that philosophy, but what if you were very competitive? What if you won the championship? We were in the championship game last year. Where do you go from that point? Where do you go if you were stuck in the middle? How do you know if it's time to rebuild or not? Those are all questions we'll answer in future episodes. Today, we're going to focus on the rankings. The rankings are up, GuruElite.com. That's where you find them. And they're absolutely free for everybody. So go check them out. They will be changing. I already have made a couple changes since I first posted them right after the draft, right on May 1st. So, and I'll continue to tinker. And I think that's where the conversation's important. And whether we're doing it on Twitter or Facebook or any social media forum or even here on GuruElite.com, it's important to have these conversations now. Because remember, the earlier you plan, the more prepared you are for when you start drafting, whether it is best ball leagues in the month of May or June or July, or whether or not you start your dynasty drafts, or when it comes time for August. At least I really strongly believe in preparation is the best way to best start you can do to any draft or any league that you participate in. Because when you're prepared, let's say right now, let's say you go to the site and you don't like where I rank some of these players. And I'm going to guarantee, if you guys are just starting out, not sure whether to listen up, if you want to yell at somebody about the rankings, I'm open for business, because there are some guys, and we'll start with the quarterbacks here in a few moments, where I'm very aggressive. And especially when it comes to quarterback position, I think my rankings are pretty aggressive. You'll see that. And you're going to disagree with some of them. And that's why it's important to have these conversations now, because when we come draft day, whether it's late July, early, mid to late August, or even early September, right before the kickoff of the 2018 season, we're going to know, okay, yeah, I used to like this player, but I stopped liking him because X, Y, Z, P, D, Q, whatever it is. Or, hey, I didn't like this guy so much at first, but you know what? People liked him. I started looking into him more, started following his production, his opportunities with his new team or his old team or the new offense that they have or new defense they have. And you know what? I really do like him, and I moved him up my draft board. That's why we're having these conversations right here and now, folks. So by all means, let's open it up. Quarterback position. Here's my deal. Hopefully you guys heard the first podcast of this season where I went through all 32 NFL teams, and I was talking about the NFL draft and making Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and drafting those kinds of quarterbacks. And I went through and said, all right, which quarterbacks are true difference makers? Because I think we have this thing now where back in the 90s and early 2000s and even up through the 2010s, it was pretty much idea. Like, these quarterbacks were really great. Like, these were the great quarterbacks, and the rest of the league kind of, we're always chasing. But nowadays, the game has changed. Spread offenses, pass attempts, you know, specifics of routes and, you know, slot wide receivers and all this kind of stuff. Is spread defenses out, and it's more of a passing league. And as a result, we're seeing much, much bigger quarterback numbers, receiving yardage, and touchdown totals as well. As a result of that, we believe the quarterbacks have much better numbers. You look at Blake Bortles' numbers over the last 3-4 years, and it blows Joe Montana out of the water. Like, he crushes Montana. But is Blake Bortles good, you know, on the level of Joe Montana? No, hell no. None of us would say that. But fantasy-wise, it kind of is true. It's kind of better. So what we have to do is continue to evolve at the quarterback position, and really it's about setting our standards. And the thing with quarterbacks are it's the deepest position by far. I've been an advocate for almost a decade now of waiting on quarterbacks, you know, taking your time, don't overdraft them. There was a time I remember I would draft Brett Favre, Steve Young. I've been playing, for those who aren't aware of me, I've been playing fantasy football since 1989. I'm only 40 years old, and I've been playing since I was a little kid, and 89 was the first year, and I've been playing ever since. So, you know, I remember, and I've made all the mistakes you guys out there are making. I've made them all. I've seen it all. Nothing comes as a surprise to me. And with quarterbacks, it comes down to they are difference makers and there's not difference makers. Those are guys that are head and shoulders above, and there's players that are just mediocre. And that quarterbacks used to be a thing that we focused on drafts. We used to take them early. Now, because of the evolution in the NFL game and all the reasons I said, spread offenses and the like, more quarterbacks are putting up good enough numbers to get us wins, stable and steady and consistent enough numbers to make us competitive in head-to-head leagues. So if you were to wait, I've done it where I've waited to the 10th round and drafted quarterbacks before. A couple of years ago, I won an FFPC league with – I won my league, and I had my – oh, yeah, it was 2 years ago. I waited to the last three rounds to draft a quarterback. That third to last round, I took the quarterback that I was really high on going into that season. And you know what? The name – I don't even remember who the hell it was, to be honest with you. I'm trying to – I can't even think. That's how pathetic it was. I can't even remember the quarterback I was way into. And I drafted, damn it. I really can't remember. Jesus. Oh, that's right. This is amazing. It was Brock Osweiler. I was one of the people that thought, okay, Osweiler getting $70 million going to Houston. He was going to be in a decent spot here. The offensive line at that point still had Duane Brown, and they had DeAndre Hopkins and all that. I thought, man, this guy, he'll be okay. He'll be good enough for me. It obviously that didn't work out, but here's the nut of the story is so that was the third to last round. Second to last round, I drafted my backup quarterback. My backup quarterback that year, Matt Ryan. Yes, Matt Ryan. Everybody, he had coming off of a down season in 2015. Yeah, 2015, he was coming off a miserable season. Nobody wanted, almost would have went undrafted had I not waited on quarterbacks so long. Took him in the second to last round, and what do you know? Yeah, Osweiler was gone within a couple weeks. I let Matt Ryan end up being my starter, led me to the championship of that FFPC, high stakes, $1,500 entry league, by the way. So that was a good thing, and again, waited to the third to last round, and nobody wanted him. Every single year, different quarterback jumps up and has amazing seasons. Look at what Carson Wentz did last year. Look what Jared Goff did last year. Deshaun Watson. These guys were amazing. Jimmy Garoppolo, after getting traded to San Francisco, they were unbelievable. And nobody was high on any of these guys. Meanwhile, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, who a lot of folks were high on, not so much, right? Nobody's high on them. They didn't do squat. Every year you're going to get a handful of quarterbacks that jump up in our top 10 guys that you draft way, way late. And that's just the nature of the game. And that's why you can wait. And so when I'm doing quarterback rankings, I'm looking at it like this. There are either difference makers and those guys are all going to be within the top four, five, six of my rankings because I believe they are truly just better, more consistent. Yeah, we'll have a bigger games, have better schedules and all the like than the rest of the group. The other group, maybe more talented, maybe highly skilled, maybe, and not just maybe, guaranteed some of them have monster years or possibly better overall seasons than the guys I rank on top, but they're not real difference makers. The circumstances, like Matt Ryan, like Cam Newton 3 years ago, same kind of thing. I'm still a Cam Newton guy. I've always believed in Cam Newton's ability from a fantasy perspective. And then 2015, he had a monster season and was one of the top guys, one of the top four quarterbacks. You can't go chasing the previous year's performance with QBs. That's the wrong way to do it. So with that in mind, let's unveil and talk about some of my notable quarterback rankings for 2018, at least at this point. The top spot was a little difficult. I could have gone a number of different ways with it. At the end of the day, I cowered out a little bit. I want Aaron Rodgers. You know, I mean, there's just no downside to Rodgers, right? He runs enough. He throws the ball a ton. Familiarity with the offense. We saw what happened in Green Bay, how much they rely on him. This season, they lost Jordy Nelson, but they spend two picks to draft tall, you know, highly fast, skilled, good leaping ability wide receivers in Equanimeous St. Brown and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's one of my favorite guys. So they've patched that. They bring in the tight end this season as well in Jimmy Graham. And all of a sudden, we're looking at this like, holy cow, the Green Bay's got a lot of talent. Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb are still there. And even though they lost Jordy Nelson, I don't think they lose a beat on offense. I really don't. He's just the most stable guy there is, Aaron Rodgers. So he's number one. Tom Brady gets the top spot. I'm sorry, number two behind Rodgers. And it could have been Brady. Just never know. At some point, and don't buy this thing where you think Brady is going to play into his mid-40s. Nobody ever does it. That's the thing. Players, and when they have huge seasons in their late 30s, they say, I'm going to play to 45. Everyone says that. And then what happens? They're 41 and they start crapping themselves, literally and figuratively. And next thing they know, they're out of the league. It happened fast. Remember Peyton Manning? It went fast. It went from, I'm setting every record in the National Football League you could think of, to Brock Osweiler was replacing me as the starting quarterback. That's how quick it happened, like that. So don't buy into it long term. This could be the year it all falls apart. I know that Belichick and Robert Kraft and everybody in New England, I hope and pray it doesn't, because Jimmy Garoppolo showed so well last year and he's going to lead San Francisco to good things. But be prepared. If you draft Rodgers, you don't have to draft another guy until later. You should have two quarterbacks, especially in best ball. Of course, you should have two or three, really. With Brady, you're going to have to put a little more emphasis on another quarterback somewhere, even if it's the mid rounds or later mid rounds, it's fine. But you have to have another guy, whether it's Dak Prescott or Phillip Rivers, Bortles, somebody. You have to have somebody solid behind him just in case it all falls apart. So those are my top two. Russell Wilson is third, and I'm back and forth on Russell Wilson. I can't figure it out. I've never been a Russell Wilson guy. I've always thought that the glass slipper was going to fall off of him. It hasn't yet. The problem with him is the Seattle Seahawks have lost everything. Their entire defense is destroyed. Their offensive line is still really, really bad, and they lose guys this past season, weapons for him. Now, whether the running back or Rashid Penny or not will help that or not, we shall see. But when you lose Jimmy Graham, for instance, along the offensive line in the tight end position like they did, and you also lose Paul Richardson this past offseason, it's really this outside of Doug Baldwin, who, again, guy who's mostly thrives out of the slot, and he exploits weaker, you know, teams with weaker nickel cornerbacks, and that he's going to be forced to play on the outside this year because they only have Marcus Johnson, Tyler Lockett. They don't have much talent at the wide receiver position. Tyler Lockett's a deep threat. Jerron Brown is fine. Maybe he could play. Jerron Brown is a guy who could lock out one of these outside spots, but moving Baldwin out there, it's going to worry me. But at the same time, if the defense is so bad, and my buddy Ted Schuster from the SiriusXM show pointed this out to me, is that if the defense is that bad, dude, it's going to be they're going to be throwing a ton, and it's going to be all on Russell Wilson. So that might be it, and Russell Wilson's going to have to throw the ball an absolute ton and run the ball a bunch. So with that in mind, he is number three. I'm not sold. I've never been a Russell Wilson guy. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm drafting, I probably wind up skipping over Russell Wilson if it's my team. That's just the way I've been. But he does deserve that third slot. Here's where it gets a little crazy, and I'm going to get a lot of flack. Deshaun Watson at four. Obviously, I'm banking on 100% health. I have to see it first before I'm actually going to pull the trigger on it. I will do it in best ball leagues right now, though. I will take the gamble on him because the ADP is pretty darn good for him in best ball. So I don't have a problem with executing on Deshaun Watson right now. If you're drafting, if you're doing the mass entry thing with best ball right now, it's probably not the way to go. You don't want to mass enter and just build everything around Deshaun Watson just in case there's setbacks. He's not ready, yada, yada, yada. So you got to be careful when you're drafting him, and I would only have him in a couple, like two out of every 10 if you're doing mega amounts of best ball leagues right now. But I like Watson still. I think if he comes back healthy, he has a case to be the number one quarterback in the NFL in fantasy football this year. So we'll see how that progresses, and here's where it really falls to pieces because I know you guys are going to hate it. But Andrew Luck is my fifth guy, and hear me out. Andrew Luck's my favorite. He hasn't thrown the ball in a year. I understand. But here's the bottom freaking line. And I'm tired of defending it, but I understand it at the same time. So I don't hate people that want to question it. But Luck is a difference maker. Just what I talked about at the start. He is a guy that when he's under center, he is an elite quarterback. He can put the team on his shoulders and make it to a Super Bowl, win one. He's the type of quarterback that can. The guys like the other guys, Matt Ryan, Stafford, Cousins, who got a ton of money, Carr and Goff and Garoppolo. And, Garoppolo, I'll give a pass because he certainly looked the part last year. But all these other guys, they can do it, but only if the team around them is great. Andrew Luck could take a terrible team like the Colts and make them great. He did that before he got hurt 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and even his rookie campaign took a team that was 2-14 to the playoffs. That's the caliber we're talking. And he's either going to play all 16 games or he's going to play zero. There is no middle ground with Andrew Luck. It's not like there's nagging injuries and all that. Either the shoulder's going to be good to go or it's not. And obviously, because it's middle of May right now, I would say that he's going to play, and he's going to play all 16 games. He'll be fine by time training camp rolls around and all that. So that's why I have him fifth. The other guys, Garoppolo, I was tempted him from spot number four all the way down. I ended up settling on number nine for him. I have Wentz at six also because I really believe I don't think Wentz is necessarily a difference maker. And that's going to offend a lot of people, especially you Philly fans. But remember this. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. Carson Wentz did not. Let's never forget that. And if Carson Wentz goes back and does it and he wins one and all that stuff, maybe he is the difference maker. But that team made Nick Foles a Super Bowl winning quarterback. That the team was fantastic. And I don't want to fall into the same rabbit hole that we all fell into with, oh, let's say, what? Well, I can go back years and years. I told you guys a lot of history with Stan Humphries from 94 and, you know, and onward. Rex Grossman in 2006 got to a Super Bowl and all the like. And Cam Newton went to a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan went to the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Don't forget Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls. All those guys are in that the other bin that I was talking about. They're good enough to win a Super Bowl for sure, but you need the team around them. I think the Eagles were a team. I don't think they were led by the quarterback. I think the fact that he goes down and they stay the same, if not got better, says that. And losing their left tackle, Jason Peters and Jordan Nix, their middle linebacker, and they still won a Super Bowl. To me, that says, well, maybe the quarterback wasn't as good as we all give him credit for. And we went down that foxhole with Joe Flacco in recent memory, and it backfired to the point that they draft a quarterback in the first round of the 2018 NFL draft. So I have Wentz 6 for now. I have Breeze only. He's 7th, but I really would like to get a lot of shares of Breeze. I think they will be better numbers out of him. We just heard about the suspension to Mark Ingram for the first 4 games of the 2018 season. We'll see how the appeal process plays out there. But Kamara's going to get a ton of work. They're going to run the football. They built this offensive line to take pressure off Drew Brees. They draft guys like Kamara and pay Ingram in order to take the pressure off. Still think they're going to have to win games with Drew Brees, and he's as consistent as it comes. I still think even at an advanced age, there'll be big games. I have Cam Newton 8th. I mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I'm still a Cam Newton guy. Not going to be able to take me off that. I think he's an elite-level passer, not on the level of Drew Brees or Luck or Brady or Rodgers, but between Russell Wilson and Cam Newton, I'm sorry, Cam Newton has a way better arm, terrifically much better arm. Russell's more accurate, but not a lot. Not that, only because he plays in a higher percentage passing offense. But I'll still give him the edge in passing. But then the running dimension, the both good rushing quarterbacks, Cam Newton's a beast, just an absolute beast. So, yeah, I would be fine with Cam Newton being my QB1. The rest of the rankings between Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Cousins, Stafford, Carr, Roethlisberger, Mariota, those guys all fall into that in that order. Not necessarily high on any. I like all those guys. They're all worthwhile. I think guys like Carr, Mariota, Winston, Goff and Cousins are fringe starters. You know, they did a lot of good things with Jared Goff and the Rams offense this offseason, bringing in a Brandon Cooks and things like that. But I'm not willing to invest anything but a later on pick. And I don't like the idea of Jared Goff being my primary quarterback every week. I'm still not 100% sold. I think I prefer Stafford, even though they're going to run more in Detroit than they ever have. We saw that by them drafting running backs, bringing in LeGarrette Blount, and drafting offensive linemen. So I strongly believe that's what they're going to do. So those are my quarterback rankings. Again, GuruElite.com is where you go find them. Let's move to the running back position here. And running backs are back in vogue, folks. And we look at the overall ADP right now in best ball formats. And 9 of the first 12 selected players, so 9 of the first 12 of the first round, are all running backs. Running backs are back, baby. Only 3 wide receivers get into that mix, which I think is fascinating. And I think, and we'll talk about it more when I get to wide receivers, but I think that creates a real, real good opportunity for value wide receivers. And there is a sweet spot right now when you're talking about middle of the order. Let's say you're in a 12-team league and you've picked 5, 6, 7. There's an unbelievable opportunity right now that you could wind up with a guy like Zeke Elliott and come back in the second round and lock down Michael Thomas. I mean, that's just unbelievable. It's really, or you could start out with Antonio Brown in those mid picks, which is one of the most stable guys, and still come back and get AJ Green or Mike Evans. Like, that's a nice start, especially if you're feeling some later round running back, some of these younger legs that we'll talk about in a minute. But back to the overall, my rankings, Todd Gurley's the top spot, but guys, I'm so close. Him and Zeke Elliott, and this is a I'm assuming PPR formats for this, okay? My rankings right now are for PPR, points per reception leagues, not touchdown only. In a touchdown only league, it might be Zeke over Gurley, to be honest with you. I'm very high on Zeke Elliott this year. Getting rid of Dez Bryant, now the true face of the franchise. They don't have anything discernible passing game. The offensive line being healthy and replenished. They drafted a guy like Connor Williams out of Texas that I love. So I'm big into Zeke Elliott. So I have Le'Veon Bell third, and I won't fault anybody for having Bell first on the running back board. I get it, but one thing you got to remember: Todd Haley's gone. Who's Todd Haley? He's the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh the last few years, basically all but one year that Bell's been in the league, and them throwing to him so often, his utilization has been 100% reliant on Todd Haley's offense. Now he's gone, and in his place, you got Randy Fincher, who, guy who's been around the program, similar style, they say, but not a guy that has the track record that Todd Haley has had. So you got to wonder about that. Plus, you get contract situation where Bell's definitely thinking about sitting out. If he gets labeled again with the tag, he's going to sit out. He's going to throw a fuss. Roethlisberger's making problems with the organization for drafting Mason Rudolph. So you've got a lot of animosity there. Plus, he's had drug suspensions and PED suspensions before. There's a lot of issues with Bell. To me, he's safely behind Gurley and Zeke Elliott. Now, number four, here's where I get more crazy. Hear me out, or at least pretend to, or at least try to, before you throw your tomatoes. But Saquon Barkley is my number four. That's right, I said it. Saquon Barkley, a lot of people hate the idea of the Giants drafting him second overall. Folks, for one, unless you're a diehard Giants fan, even if you are, who cares? Who cares of the Giants, what they do, and how they build their team? I want to win money. I want to win my leagues. I'm about those chips, baby. I'm about trophies. I'm about winning money. I'm about being the better player than my opponents. And sometimes you have a talent like Saquon Barkley, he deserves a top five running back selection. Here's the thing. New offense in New York. So forget everything we've seen the last couple of years. Just forget it. Mike Shula, Pat Shurmur are there. For one, you look at their Dave Gettleman is their general manager now from the Carolina Panthers. He brings in Panthers offense coordinator Mike Shula, who's been with it. And what have they done? Mike Shula is the most vanilla play caller in the history of the NFL. And they're going to run the hell out of the football. Pat Shurmur, it's a style that he likes as well. Eli Manning, his advanced age, same thing. Then you look at them going out and getting Nate Solder from the New England Patriots, left tackle. Uh-oh. Yeah, the guy who's been protecting Tom Brady's blindside the last few years. Yeah, he's now in New York. Solid addition. Second-round pick for the Giants, Will Hernandez. You guys haven't seen Will Hernandez. This dude is he's the size of a Mack truck. He literally is a Mack truck. He's a huge specimen that is going to excel at the NFL level in run blocking. He's just a mountain of a man. Now, he's not the greatest pass blocker. I didn't grade him out very high in pass blocking. He was passable, solid for a interior lineman at the college level. But in run blocking, he's one of the best we've seen. And he's going to be on the left side next to Solder. All of a sudden, you get Ereck Flowers back, a first-round pick from a few years ago. He's playing the right side. And now, all of a sudden, this offensive line in New York looks pretty darn good. You got young, fresh legs like Barkley in an offense like Mike Shula that throws to the running backs a ton, that likes to utilize the running backs. This is a good setup for Saquon Barkley. I love it. Now, and he's not challenged for playing time. Jonathan Stewart's there, another Carolina Panther. Shocker, shocker. But he's going to be backup. Stewart never could stay healthy. He's not going to be a threat to Saquon. You cannot. You're in the New York media. You're in the New York media market. And there's no way you could justify sharing the backfield when you just took a second overall pick in the running back? Because they're already getting heat about it. There's no flipping way you can do it. I'm positive Saquon's a three-down back. I cannot say that about my next guy at number five. He's not a three-down back. I love him, but Alvin Kamara's not a three-down back. He might be the first couple weeks in New Orleans, but I don't think they want to utilize him there. I love Alvin Kamara. I love the Saints' offensive line. I like the threat they have at quarterback and Michael Thomas and some receivers that they have there as well. I love this offense. I love it for Kamara. He's going to catch a ton of passes. He's going to get those first four games, and I moved him up to the fifth spot on my board here as well. Leonard Fournette of the Jacksonville Jaguars is number six in my running back rankings. I'm nervous about Fournette. This is where it starts getting a little chippy. The thing about Jacksonville is they are so heavily reliant on the run. They're going to run the ball constantly. That's their watermark is we're going to run the ball, control the game, limit Blake Bortles' mistakes, and win it with our defense. It worked. It should have got them to the Super Bowl last year. Got them within a game. Terrific effort. But this year, I think they're going to do a lot more of the same. And I think when that offense runs for Leonard Fournette, when he's healthy, which is key, which is why I get nervous about him. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Again, we can do that in May. When this gets down to August and September, we're going to have to make tougher decisions and possibly have to look. If Fournette's sitting out practices and things like that, we're going to have to lower him. I have David Johnson at seven. I know some of you, I've heard from you already, at Jeff_Manns, M-A-N-S, by the way. You guys have told why Dave Johnson was number one pick last year, should be the number one pick this year. Why? That doesn't make any sense. It's not 2017 anymore, guys. And guess what else? Bruce Arians isn't in Arizona anymore, in case you guys aren't aware. It's Steve Wilks, the old Carolina Panther guy. Good Lord. And Mike McCoy, it's his offense. Mike McCoy will run the football. Mike McCoy's been good for guys like Melvin Gordon in the past and C.J. Anderson in the past. But, I don't hate David Johnson at all. I love the player and the guy. Believe me, I met him a number of times. Hung out with him two Super Bowls ago as well. Him and his lovely wife are from the same area in which I reside. He's class act all the way. Guy I root for all the time. My son has David Johnson jersey, as a matter of fact. But it's the different offense. It's not what it used to be. And he missed an entire year. And, yeah, at least it's not a knee or anything else. I don't think any speed will be. But he did miss time. Now he's got a new quarterback. He's got a very, very bad offensive line. And I worry a lot about David Johnson, how he's going to be utilized, what kind of shape he's in after missing the whole year in the offensive line, how he's going to gel with the quarterback, and how he fits in the offense, and the offensive line's garbage. So all of that makes me worry, and I drop him all the way down to seven. Kareem Hunt at eight, he's an Andy Reid running back. I have no worries about him in that spot. I have Devontae Freeman pretty high here in Atlanta. I like Devontae Freeman a lot. Remember, they invested in him. Big money, got like $50 million before the start of the 2017 season. So this is their guy. So the Tevin Coleman, he'll be used. He'll be utilized for sure. But it's just not the same environment. Freeman is the alpha. And I think we got a lot more clarity this draft season than we had last. Melvin Gordon may be the most forgotten superstar in fantasy football. He's a 10. I'm still not a Melvin Gordon guy, but they've made a lot of improvements. Don't forget, they used a second-round pick on Forrest Lamp, the Chargers did last year, and he got hurt before the season even started. So you talk about another team that's going to play a lot of smash-mouth football. It's going to be the L.A. Chargers. Russell Okung, they get Mike Pouncey, remember, the center from the Miami Dolphins, and now you get Forrest Lamp in there to play right guard. Pretty solid interior with Okung on the side, who, if you don't remember Russell Okung, he was the guy paving the way for Marshawn Lynch in Seattle all those good years. So there's a lot to like along here and a lot to like about Melvin Gordon. I probably have him a little too low at this point, but I dig it. Jerick McKinnon goes to the 49ers. And the goddamn 49ers don't draft a running back. Stunning to me. I had McKinnon in the teens because I was certain before the draft, I was certain, 100% positive, they were going to draft a running back in the third, fourth, fifth round. They didn't. They didn't draft a single guy Now it's only McKinnon with Matt Breida and Joe Williams to back him up. There's a lot of nothing here in San Francisco. And they paid Jerick McKinnon good money. He's going to play the Devontae Freeman role for the 49ers. It's a great spot. He's RB1 as it sits on my board right now. So there you go. Mark Ingram's up there too. Obviously, I have not updated it yet. It depends on when you guys are listening. But as of the right now, the Ingram news just came out, I think, to this morning. So I'm going to have to lower him. I had him 12. He will now be lowered probably behind Dalvin Cook as my number 12. So that's where those running backs all figure out. Other situations, the Bengals made improvements to the offensive line. I dig that. The Bears made improvements to the offensive line. I dig Jordan Howard a little bit. Dig Joe Mixon. I dig Carlos Hyde in Cleveland. I think Hyde and Chubb, if I somehow could get those two guys, and I will handcuff them both, I have no problem drafting them. If people are down now because of the uncertainty around Carlos Hyde, if I can get Carlos Hyde in like the fifth round and then snab Chubb in the sixth or seventh, lock down that Cleveland running back, I don't mind that at all. That's my approach with running backs, guys. You're going to hear a lot more about it, hopefully, if you're listening to more episodes. So those are the running back rankings. Again, GuruElite.com is where you find them. Wide receivers, talked about it there for a minute. Only three wideouts are currently in the top 12 in ADP for MFL 10s. It's pretty surprising. And those wide receivers are Antonio Brown. Okay, that's not surprising. DeAndre Hopkins, not surprising. The third one is Odell Beckham. What to do with OBJ? He is a head case. He's a disaster. It's a new coaching regime here in New York. I just talked about it. They draft Saquon Barkley, who obviously I'm very high on. So that leaves me in a very uncomfortable spot with Odell Beckham. Currently is my number three. I do have him three. Do I risk it? Would I risk a first-round pick? Hell no. Hell no. He's not my first-round pick. My first-round pick is going to be stable, lockdown, guy I could count on. That's going to be that. And that's not Odell Beckham. If I can get OBJ in the second round, that kind of flash and upside is probably going to be it will likely overwhelm me that I would take it. If I had like the wheel at 12, 13, something like that, or I had, 11, 14, or 10, 15, somewhere around there. If I got 15th pick and Odell Beckham's on the board, I would execute that move. Don't think, based on the early ADP right now, that that's going to happen, especially once people see he is healthy. So I have Antonio Brown first, of course. And Antonio Brown should be in consideration for the number one overall spot. I wouldn't go there personally. I would go Gurley and Zeke, but there's no reason you couldn't choose Antonio Brown first, second, third, any spot in the first round. He's absolutely deserving of that. He is the most consistent fantasy player. What about when Roethlisberger missed? He had like 1.5 bad games in 3-4 years, and Roethlisberger's missed time in every single one of those seasons, and he still only had 1 or 2 bad games, and not even bad, just down games. I'm completely, completely all right with Antonio Brown. I have DeAndre Hopkins second. Again, no big surprise. Fourth, and the problem with Julio Jones, if you guys weren't aware, he took down all his Atlanta Falcons mentions on his social media. On all his social media, he ripped them all out. There was speculation before the draft that Julio Jones was contemplating retirement. Yes, he's very young, but I know it. I have it on high. And friends of his from back in his college days and former players that used to play in the Atlanta Falcons told me personally that Julio Jones is not a football guy, just not into it. He's a great football player, but it's not in his soul. It's not what he doesn't watch the games on bye weeks. He goes fishing and does other things. Like he's not in. He watches Alabama football, doesn't watch the pro game at all. Just not a guy who's in there, not a guy who's doing it. He's an exceptional, extraordinary player. But he's a guy who could easily go Calvin Johnson. So when the Falcons made their first-round selection and took Calvin Ridley, that had to open all of our eyes. Like, okay, there may be something going on here. We'll see, especially with the, stripping all the Falcon and NFL tags off of his social media. So we'll contemplate it. Julio Jones is 4. If Julio Jones is back and he's fine, he would probably be my number two. And people will get pissed at that because he doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. Dude, there is not that many guys. There's been one player in the history of the NFL back-to-back 1,400-yard receiving seasons and three out of the last four. And only two other guys have done that. That's Calvin Johnson and Jerry Rice. So, yeah, I love Julio Jones. Michael Thomas, five. I got talked about the Saints. They don't throw as much, but he's by far the main weapon now entering season three for Thomas, just continuing to make strides. And I love the kid. I have him just a tick ahead of A.J. Green at six. A.J. Green is going to make somebody so happy because in best ball, in MFL 10s right now, he's going 19th overall, end of the second round. You talk about the mighty have fallen. So that's a great first round pick or second round pick. I'm sorry. If you get like the fourth pick or something, if you can go Zeke Elliott and AJ Green, your first two, baby, you are rolling right now. That's a great setup. I love AJ Green. Devonta Adams, seven. No Jordy Nelson. It's his game now. Mike Evans, eight. I love Mike Evans' situation. Jameis Winston gets laser focused on one receiver. He simply can't make reads. But his lack of yards after the catch and his catch rate has been so bad the last 2 years, it caught up to him last year. And there's some problems. I think Evans is, as he gets older, he's not going to get better at his catch rate and yards after the catch. They're going to get worse. He might wind up being, you know, very, very soon, could be a wide receiver two or three who's simply a red zone threat. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt now. He's still my top 10 at eight, but I'm definitely worried about Mike Evans. Keenan Allen, nine, steady. He just needs to stay on the field. He did it last year. We saw what he can do. I have no problems with that. Tyreek Hill at 10. Well, you go from the weak arm. Tyreek Hill was putting up all these great numbers the last 2 years in Kansas City with the most vanilla, non-genital Alex Smith. That's right, non-genital. That means he has a smooth patch of skin where his junk should be. Alex Smith, he is a fraud. Now you get an uber-armed quarterback in Pat Mahomes. Hopefully they're going to push the ball. They have to. They're going to push the ball downfield more. The ball will be in Tyreek Hill's hands, and this guy flat out can fly and make huge, huge plays. One of my favorite DFS plays, and will continue to be so here in 2018. I have Doug Baldwin, 11, and Alshon Jeffrey, 12. Okay with both of them. Jeffrey had a down season. He played with a shoulder tear last year. So we're going to have to make sure he comes back. He had off-season surgery. He's still not able to do football activities yet. But when he comes back and Wentz is healthy, and no Torrey Smith, I still think Jeffrey – we did not see the best Alshon Jeffrey by far last year. He can simply get better. And I think he's definitely in the wide receiver one conversation for this year. Other guys, I mean, I like Larry Fitzgerald a ton, no matter who the quarterback is. If Andrew Luck's healthy, you got to consider T.Y. Hilton again. Amari Cooper, he's still so young. I'm going to chalk up last year's just a terrible year and the drops and the bad offense and the bad defense for the Raiders. You know, I don't think John Gruden, him and his offensive coordinator, who's another, you want to talk about terrible offensive coordinators, that was a terrible hire as well, and Greg Olsen. But I don't know how much they pushed the ball downfield, but without Michael Crabtree there, it's all Amari Cooper. So we're going to see some good, we should see better numbers out of him. Other guys, you have to go to the site to see the other guys. Julian Edelman, Brandon Cooks, Josh Gordon, Pierre Garçon, a lot of question marks going into this year. Jarvis Landry in Cleveland, can he put up similar numbers to what he did in Miami? A lot to consider there, and I've got my top 36 wide receiver rankings up, guruelite.com. That's where you go to find that. And we'll move on. We'll go to the tight end position here, folks, and discuss some of my top guys at tight end. Not that much different from where we left off last year. Rob Gronkowski's number one. He is not a first-round pick. He's not going in first-round last year in best balls and MFL 10s. Gronkowski was pretty solid end-of-the-first-round selection. come redrafts, he ended up being much more of a high second, low first type of guy. We're not seeing Rob Gronkowski as the first tight end off the board, folks. We're seeing him as a distant third-round pick, second tight end off the board next to Travis Kelce. You can't do that. Like, you can't. There's no way you could justify Kelce over Gronkowski. He's never healthy. Okay, but, you know, it is true, but Gronkowski is so big and strong and physically intimidating and imposing, faster, bigger, stronger, the whole deal, that a guy that big and strong and athletic should not be getting hurt as much. There have been a lot of fluke injuries for him. Give me the Patriots offense over the Chiefs offense any day of the week. If you look at home road splits, it's almost disgusting how much Kelce relies on home production as opposed to road, and that was with Alex Smith. So, listen, Kelce's number two for me, but Gronkowski is still on a tier all by himself. Would I draft him in the second round? Probably not. No, I would not. As much as I do like the guy and think he gives you such a distinct advantage at tight end, still a third-round pick at the soonest for me. So best ball, kind of getting him right at this point. But in the best ball format, it's pretty darn good. Pretty good pick to have a guy that's so much better at their position than anybody possibly else. It really is pretty solid. So I can get it. Zach Ertz is three. I know they got Dallas Goedert. They drafted him, traded up for the tight end. He's going to replace Trey Burton. So there'll still be some split there. But again, I think Ertz, as much as Ertz was splitting with Celek and Trey Burton a year ago, at this point in time, he's not splitting with two guys any longer. And Goedert is just a rookie that's coming into the league, so there's a lot for him to learn. We don't know what his playing time is going to be, and even if he does play a bunch, is he going to get the same sort of targets and looks that the guys like Trey Burton did in the past? And I don't think so. And not until later in the season, at least. And without Celek there either, man, I like this a lot. They brought in Richard Rodgers in Philly, I should say that. But Goedert and Zach Ertz will be the combination. Ertz going to get the lion's share. He's my number three. Hunter Henry, man. No Antonio Gates to deal with finally in L.A. Hunter Henry's ready to have a big season. The folks that gave up on him last year got bit in the ass quite considerably, because he posted some monster games. I understand he also disappeared. I think we're going to see more consistency in a couple more real huge games. Hunter Henry, my number four. Greg Olsen at five. Maybe his swan song. The organization loves him. He tried out for Monday Night Football, a job that eventually went to Jason Witten, who is no longer on our rankings and has retired at this given point in time. It's a whole different conversation on what to do. Well, who's the Dallas Cowboy tight end to go to? Your guess is as good as mine. I would say Rico Gathers at this point. I don't know what to make of it. Put it this way. Anybody in Dallas, they're not going to be Jason Witten. They're not going to be on the field nearly as much. Dalton Schultz was a fourth-round pick that they selected. But I think Gathers, the former basketball player, he's going to be the guy at this given point in time. But I barely have him ranked as a tight end two, Rico Gathers. So don't go trying to fill this Cowboy tight end slot just yet. They just don't have the right talent in there to execute the numbers that Witten was. And it's not just a system thing. It was a Tony Romo thing that Dak sort of kept on to, and everybody trusted in Witten. He was a leader. It's not going to be the same for the rest. But I like Greg Olsen a great deal. Back to him. That's a pretty good segue there, right? I brought you from Greg Olsen all the way around the Jason Witten train and back home. Could be a swan song. If it is a swan song, expect frequent targets. You know, expect some bigger numbers, him to lay it all out on the line. This is a great tight end, especially around the red zone. Remember, they drafted DJ Moore, the Panthers, this season. They don't have Kelvin Benjamin anymore. Funches is a tall target with leaping ability, but Olsen is their guy. He was what Benjamin and the like were there, and I think he will continue to be so. He's going to rack up a bunch of touchdowns this year. Evan Engram, six. I could easily flip six, my six and seven, Engram and Delanie Walker. I'm having Ingram out there now. He was Eli Manning. I feel like being such a lost season last year, him and Eli developed great rapport. He was one of few guys he can count on the passing game. And as a result, quarterbacks don't forget stuff like that. And I think that Evan Ingram really ingrained himself to Eli Manning's circle of trust and the new regime's trust as well, because he's such a young player. And he did play his heart out even when the team was so bad at the end of last year. So I love Delanie Walker. I am a Delanie Walker mark. So if you went him ahead of Ingram, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Jordan Reed at 8, and it's, can he ever stay healthy? The answer is clearly no. We can't deny the skill. We can't deny the contract that he has for the Washington Redskins. When and if Jordan Reed plays again, I don't mind grabbing Jordan Reed if you're talking about doing so in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round. You know what I mean? Something like that would be a lot better. You know, that's a great spot to get a guy that you roll the dice that he's going to play 13 games, 12, 13 games for you. If you get that out of Jordan Reed in the 8th round, you're going to be very happy with the production. Can't invest an early round pick on him. Can't draft him ahead of Walker or Ingram, who show up to play every single day. But the talent is obviously there. Kyle Rudolph of the Vikings. We see how Kirk Cousins has liked his tight ends in the past. I expect an uptick in production there with Rudolph. Very elite level pass catcher, good run blocker as well. The Vikings keep trying to improve that offensive line, and one of these days they're going to get it right. And when they do, we're going to see Rudolph run a lot more routes than we're accustomed to seeing. So I do have Trey Burton, O.J. Howard also in the top 11, Jimmy Graham of the Packers, number 12. I don't like Jimmy Graham. I don't like Packers tight ends. We've fallen for this a million times before. So I'm just not that interested. If I had to go there, fine. But again, waiting. Way, way, way late before I pierce the veil of Jimmy Graham. Hayden Hurst, David Njoku, Tyler Eifert, Jack Doyle. What do we do with Jack Doyle? Andrew Luck's healthy. Should he be ranked a little higher? You have to go to the site, guruelite.com. That's where you find the tight end rankings. All right, folks, I think that's a good spot to call it the end for today's podcast. Again, hopefully you guys are enjoying it. If there are topics you want me to hit, again, we're doing dynasty leagues. We're doing best ball strategies, best ball roster construction. We'll have a number of episodes dedicated to those in the days and weeks ahead. But if there are topics you guys want me to hit, free agency, you want me to talk about draft strategies, you want me to talk about specific players, injury returns, whatever it is, hit me up at Jeff_Manns, M-A-N-S, on Twitter, the Jeff Manns on Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook or any other places. Love to hear your guys' thoughts. And also, if you want me to add other elements to the show, by all means, let's do it. This Fantasy Football League's about you guys. It's about getting together, talking some damn football, interacting, having a good time. And then eventually it's about winning some goddamn big checks, because that's what we're about. All about those chips, baby. All right, folks, that's it for us, for me. I will see you guys again next time. Until then, remember, Guru Elite, if you're doing best ball leagues, on draft.com. Until then, this is Jeff Manns. See you next time.